They had to make 84 pounds just like this.
How long did it take you to make 84 pairs of hinges like that?
Take about an hour to make one. See, that's not welded in there. It's just after I made this and get in here, I put this in the fire hot, and just dry this down in there when it'll shrink up. It'll stretch, you know, this iron stretch when it get hot. See, now just like this, you know, if you put a piece of coal, a piece of iron in there, you can't hardly get in. I mean, you put it in there, it won't go in there cold, but if you heat this, it'll go right on down and it'll shrink down on it. See that wheel, Yana? That's a hack wheel. I built that wheel about 7 years ago from St. Augustine. And I built a lot of them. But that and that, a horse run away and broke that down. He brought it back and I had to fix it. I put the chow line on it, and then he put the rubber on it down there.
How long have you been doing blacksmithing?
I started here in 1912.
In 1912. It's a long time.
A long time, 1912. Well, I'll show you this here. Let's see, page 105.
What's this now?
Now, seeing this here, I started this shop in 1912. But see all of this here, and see all that.
Yeah, that's all in your shop.
Yeah, and just see this barrel. This barrel is sitting right over there, and I put hooks on it. 100-gallon barrel. I put hooks on for a white fella from Worcester. And I told the lady, I said he could put. She from Valdosta in the state college. I told her, I said you can put some corn in that and make some good moonshine. She got that in this book. Everything we said is in this book. And that's where it stops at.
There aren't many blacksmiths around here. How'd you learn how to do it?
Now,
how'd you learn how to do the stuff you're doing?
Well, I make all kinds. I make lawnmower blades and sharpen what they call rotomower blades. Them old big blades, hammer them out. And I make what you call fish gig for. Take a pitchfork and make a fish gig out of it and make some spears for them boys, what they call skin dives. Shoot them fish with that little gun underwater.
Yeah.
And then I make all kinds of this. See, I make this axe hound. I made them hound yarner. I mean them axe. I do all kinds of work. Make all kinds of different things. And I got the picture of this house down at the oldest house between Pensacola and St. Augustine, Florida. Out there at Mont Pleasant, right side of the road, Mont Pleasant out there. And I done a lot of work for that house when they remodeled it. Made all kind of locks and all kind of hinges for it.
You're doing some stuff for the Opera House downtown in Monticello, aren't you?
What about?
For the Opera House, the old Perkins Opera House?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, I make a lot of. I make what they call an andine, you know what they call dog irons. I make a lot of them for people they make a lot of different things. They're general blacksmithing. Pipe sweeps and plows and all that. I used to shoot horses. I shoot horses 63 years, and I retired from shooting horses. I shoot horses 63 years, and it's lucky enough to not get kicked but one time.
Wow,
and I shoot a many of them in my day. Good God. And Mr. Rivers, the Greyhound bus, what make the Greyhound bus and all these buses in Jacksonville. He come up here year before last night, wanted me to go down that way. I told him I'm quite on, but I was getting old, and then I told him I just got to pick around here these few more years.
You've been around here all your life?
I was born and raised in that house right down there, that log house. 83 years, but I was quite on 83.
Was your daddy a blacksmith, too?
My dad is a blacksmith.
He's the one that taught you how to do blacksmith?
No, my brother. I had a brother I worked under. See, he had an older son by his first wife was Abraham Rain, and he started in the shop when he was 9 years old under my daddy. And my daddy passed in 1912, and I started in the shop under him.
And you took over your daddy's shop.
That's right.
That's great.
And then, of course, you know, man got to learn a lot of things for himself.
Yeah.
I used to make knife blades and gun springs. and all like that, but I just quit making gun springs and knife blades and all that. That's too much of your time.
Do people much, do they come after things like that much, or they, what do people want you to do now?
Well, they want me to do all kind of work. See, all kind of work. They come from Tallahassee and Crawfordville and all like that, St. Augustine and everywhere. They come.
How do people find out about you?
Well, now, this fella from Bradford, he saw my picture in the Florida Time Union. Saw the picture in the Admiral and all in the Florida Time Union. And that's how he found it. And then I think the people in St. Augustine, I think the high sheriff at that time, Durat Shepherd, he was raided up here, and he told them about them. Now, some ladies been here last Monday from Stephen Foster Foundation down there. They wrote my letter before Christmas and told me to. I had to fill out some papers and send them. And so they come up here to see too late last Monday. And I'm supposed to go down there, but they said they're going to have some sort of work for my show and didn't want me to come down there at that time. He told me my brother, he's a finished carpenter, but he retired carpenter. He don't do nothing but fish and hunt.
That's not bad.
But I work right on in the shop right on.
Has your shop changed much?
Now,
are you using different things now than you used when you first
started? Well, I don't have it. I'd be busy all the time, but what it is, years ago, when everybody around here farming, they had horses and like Mr. John, said, said, Thomas, I heard you talk about my husband on TV, and I said, yeah, the old TV, Mr. John, before he died, Mr. Carl John. He would tell me, say, Tom, when I first come down here, there's 14 ox farmers on the plantation. Nine ain't but two mule. All the rest are tractor work. Yeah. Well, I've been here and hollering people all my days, and I ain't never had a fuss with nobody.
That's great. White lady, did you do that?
White lady come out of Tallahassee. Said, Mr. Raines, said, I just come in the morning, sir, and said, I saw your picture in the Democrat and saw why you ain't never had a fuss with nobody. I said, how you managed to do that? Many people do you handle? I said, lady, I just outsmart them. She said, how you do that? I said, I watch every conversation. If me and you start something leading up to a fuss, I change off on something else. And I make it a policy to be nice to everybody, white and black, and I treat everybody one straight way. I'm mad enough to tell you in a minute what I think is right, but I ain't got to stand there and argue with you.
Yeah. Doesn't do much good sometimes to argue. Man. Doesn't do much good to argue.
No. Sometimes. See, me and you can start arguing over a penny if one don't hurt me, have a foot.
Yeah,
but I learned to let them. I said, well, if you think it's that, we're all right. And I go with you.
Can you kind of show us how you do some of the stuff around here?
Well,
the last time I saw a blacksmith working was a long time ago.
I just show you how this thing ain't hot like yours, but I just show you how quick it'll heat a piece of iron.
Are you using coal in that?
Well,
or do you use coal? Use coal?
Yes, ma'am. I use on coal. My wife fella give me about, I speak 7,000 or 8,000 pounds of them coal.
Oh, really?
Because it's hard to get in Thomasville now. But we used to burn coal. We take, go out there in the wood and cut out about 3 pines. And split them up and bed them up and make what they call a coal kill. And we burn about 200-300 bushels of coal one time.
Would you just burn the pine to make coal?
Yeah, it'll make coal, but you got to kill them up, put straw over them and like you would, tear the bank, put straw over them, and then take a long pole and set it the fire under there with a lot of tin, and then you keep it up with dirt. And then you watch it. You might have to watch it 2-3 nights, pack it down, see if it break out. It'll
burn up.
Burn up, but see, just keep it smothered out. It'll burn that coal look just like that. And then you can, there we can use it.
How hot does this have to get before you can start working the metal?
It ain't got to be but a minute or two right there. See, now that fire was already hot.
Yeah.
It's been hot now. Of course, steel, you can't get steel quite as hot as you can other things. I used, T-model, I used to take them old bottom springs and weld them back, but I wouldn't want to do all that work now.
Yeah. must be pretty hot working here in the summer.
No, it ain't hard to look like it ought to be. It gets pretty hot, but it ain't as hot. That's the reason I don't seal it up, you know.
Yeah.
I ain't getting in the shower. You can keep on the heating that thing until it burns that piece of iron up. He's getting hot, it ain't hot at all to be late. See, I just made that fire because I've been down there putting down a rug. Yeah, I get along with everybody, white and black, and everybody nice to me. Mighty mean fella, if you nice to him, he ain't nice to you.
Yeah,
I make it a policy for. If I sit out of it, if he don't give me a smile, I loan him one of mine. He might pay it back.
Not many folks like that, though.
Mm-hmm. I make a policy. Like the old poem say, make new friends, but keep the old one as silver, nut, and gold. And so I try to make new friends all the time. You see how?
Oh, yeah.
That's what you call cherry red.
Cherry red?
Yes, ma'am. Now, see, when I was making knife blades and gun springs, I heat that, what you call cherry red,
uh-huh.
And I used to temper them in cool in hot water.
Uh-huh.
But I found out tempering them oil was the best.
In oil?
Oil. It's motor oil. It's 30-weight motor oil.
Uh-huh.
See, I make the knife blade or gun spring. And I heated what's called cherry red,
uh-huh.
And drop it in that water, not water, but oil, and let it stand there until it gets cold. And take it out and hold it over the fire until all the oil burnt off and drop it back in there. And it'll be a good knife blade or you a good gun spray.
That's amazing. How'd you figure that out?
Yeah,
you just do it one day or something?
Yes. I used to temper it in water, hot water, and you hear it crack.
Uh-huh.
A knife blade, you hear it crack, and you don't can't tell it until you go to grind it. When you grind it, then you see where it broke, cracked out.
Yeah.
Broke. And you done all that work for nothing.
Yeah. So after you make the blade or something like that, you grind it down?
Yes, ma'am, grind it down.
Oh.
Take a emery or anything, grind it down.
Yeah.
Of course, the emery had to wash it over to take the temper back out of it. Yeah, this heat back to sugar ice. Now you can take two pieces of iron. I weld with borax and sand. And you got to weld regular welding compound or but I rather use my old way of borax and sand. Now you can take just two pieces of iron like this here. Yeah? See now you can put sand on this here.
Uh-huh.
Heat it red hot and put sand on top of that. And sand on top of that and put them both in the fire.
Uh-huh.
And they get a little hotter than that was there. And you look on top of that, and a bit of that sand on top of it. When you turn it over there, all that'll be glue. Well, you see now you have it just like that. And you turn one over and slap it together like that and hit a well.
Huh.
You know, the old word is concentrate with it, but you know, I don't say we call it welding.
Yeah. It sticks tight.
Yeah. Like I tell them, if I go on examination for blacksmithing, a lot of the words I couldn't answer, but I could do the work. See, a lot of the words, you know, I couldn't answer. Just like, you know, you read a book about driving an automobile until you get under the wheel, you ain't learned how to drive one.
For sure. That's true.
No,
if you've been doing blacksmithing since 1912, you...
Yes, and that's what I've been
doing.
In fact, I raised up around the shop here. I've been doing it.
Uh-huh.
I remember the first mule I shoot in 1912 was old man Tommy Razor. He didn't much want me to do it because he didn't think I knowed how.
Uh-huh.
And because my brother wasn't here. But eventually, boy, he stood over and watched like a daughter what. He wasn't satisfied. But
how old were
you? Ma'am.
When you shoot your first mule, how old were you?
I was then 17 years old. Yeah, I've been staggering around here a long time.
Did you build the house across the street?
Ma'am.
Did you guys build the house across the street?
That log house?
Yeah.
No, my daddy built the house in 1877.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he come down. I just built this part onto it in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
But I ended up in the log house part my daddy built in 1877. And you see them seals there?
Uh-huh.
He was cut for that church down here, our church in 1871. Huh.